Good morning, we're up to Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. And we're about, I would say, 15 lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul. And again, keep in mind that we're discussing a case of miut, which means that he set up a pass for his Eruv, and now it got reduced in its size, it diminished. And the Gemara is now going to come up with a very interesting idea that sometimes even if something is missing and the loaf of bread for the Erev is not complete, nevertheless it still might be a valid Erev. Nitla heimenu kidei chalasa. The amount that's missing from this loaf of bread is the amount that you would need to be mafrish challah. Now, how much do you need to be mafrish challah? That's going to be a subject of the Gemara here on Daf Pei Aleph. And it could be there's a difference between commercially baked breads that are baked for the sake of sale on the market as opposed to a person in his own house that's baking for his own personal needs. But whatever it is, as we'll soon see, there's a shear of challah. And removing that amount from the loaf of bread is not going to be considered a diminishing of the shear of bread that's necessary for the Erev, because that's the amount that you need to be misaken to fix up this bread. Now, normally, keep in mind, the mitzvah of challah begins once it's an isa, meaning when the water is added to the flour, and the mixing is done, which is called lisha, kneading with a K, right? That's already the machayev of challah. But you could also be mafrish challah after it's baked. And the shear of challah that we're going to address now is after the afia. And if that small portion was taken away from this loaf, it's still considered a shlema. It's still considered a complete loaf of bread, a complete pas, even though nitla mimenu kishir challah. Ukidei dimua, all right, this is a little bit more complicated. What's kidei dimua? So now we have a case of a mixture. Dimua means a mixture. A mixture where we cannot identify one of two categories. One category is asur, one category is mutter, and they got mixed together. And in this context, what we're talking about is two different loaves of bread. One loaf of bread is chulin, which means that the truma was taken off. And the other loaf of bread is truma. So you have chulin and truma in a mixture. Now in such a case, there are two dinim that overlap. One din is bittel, which means we're allowed to eat the mixture, but the other din is we have to give the kohen his due. So how do we reconcile these two? And the answer is we're going to take out from this dimua, from this mixture, a certain shear, a certain amount, and give it to the kohen as truma. And that's going to be his gift. How much are we going to give? Well, that depends upon how large of a size of truma fell into this mixture. Again, I can't identify where the truma is in this mixture. So I'm just going to take out, what's the word I want to use, haphazardly, you know, by just, you know, take out a, you know, at random. Oh, that's the word I want to use. I'm going to randomly take out a piece of bread from this tarova, so this mixture, which is called dimua. And that bread should be the volume, the size of the bread of truma that fell into this mixture. I mean, no one's going to tell me, I'm not a prophet, to say that as luck would have it, I actually pulled out that piece of truma. But I have to give the kohen his due, meaning monetarily, in terms of market value, what's coming to him. And by taking out the same identical volume from this mixture of truma that fell in, I guarantee that the kohen doesn't lose anything financially. He gets exactly what was coming to him. So on a level of allowing me as a non-kohen to eat this mixture, I apply the principle of bittul. So let's say, for example, one loaf of truma bread gets mixed up with 100 loaves, same size loaves, of chulin. I can eat the mixture. And anytime I take a bite out of this mixture, I assume I'm eating chulin. I have an additional chiyuv to pay the kohen his due and take out of this mixture a loaf or part of a loaf, whatever it is, that is the same volume as the loaf of truma that fell into this mixture and give it to the kohen. And that amount, whatever it is, even though I take it out, it does not undermine the status of what's left as an Eruv. So the Eruv is still valid, even though I'm missing a certain volume, we'll call it X, and that volume X is equal to the amount of bread that I have to take out of this dimua in order to give it to the Kohen. Is ma'arvin lo ba. So in other words, that which is missing is what's called kidei l'takna. You know, normally, you know, if an animal takes a bite out of a piece of bread, or even a human being for that matter, then it's chaser. It's not a complete bread. But in this case, and these two cases that we mentioned, that we're taking out of the bread for kidei l'takna, not to diminish it, but to improve its status and allow you to eat it, because we need to take out the shear of challah to give to the kohen, or in this case kidei l'dimua. That's called kidei l'takna. Therefore, it's not called chasera. Chasera is the feminine form of the word chaser. So we could call it chaser, but technically, because we're dealing with challah, and we're dealing with something that you would use the feminine grammatical form, so we call it chasera. But so we have two concepts here. One's called chasera, which would undermine the eruv, and the other is called letakna, which now detonates or neutralizes the chasera and say it's letakna. Letakna is not chasera. Why? Because it's necessary to remove this in order to allow enjoying the benefit of whatever's left. So you have to remove that from the, you know, from the mixture or from the tevel for challah in order to be matirit for achilas od. So this is all a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And now the Gemara is going to contradict Rabbi Yochanan from a braisa. V'asanya, we have a braisa that says that in the case of nechsera, something's missing from the pas, and it's kidei dimua, then ma'arvin ba. Aval kidei chalosa, ein ma'arvin ba. The braisa makes a distinction between a case where truma got mixed up with chulin, and now you have to remove the exact same, identical volume of the truma that fell in from this mixture. That's okay. That's called a takna, and that's not called chaser, and the Erev is valid. As opposed to the case of kidei chalosa, where he has tevel, and he hasn't been mafrish challah. Once he takes out the challah from the bread, and the bread is considered chasera, it no longer can serve as an Erev. Why not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no difference between kidei dimua and chalosa. Kidei chalosa. Lokash. Ha bechalas nachtom, veha bechalas balabais. The shear of challah changes between, as we mentioned earlier, commercially baked breads and home baked breads. In the case of nachtom is a professional baker. There he has masses of breads that he's selling on the market, and we're not going to require a gigantic amount of challah. However, by contrast, in the case of chalas balabais, it's my own kitchen, you know, I'm baking my own breads, then I have to give a larger shear. And exactly what those two shiurim are, we'll see in just a second. But let's just see how this reconciles Rabbi Yochanan with the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a case of Chalas Balabayis. And therefore, he took off less than this gigantic shear that a Balabayis is required for Chal. So he didn't achieve his goal of Litakna. And therefore, he undermines the status of the Eruv. However, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a case of a Chalas Nachtom, where the shear of Hafrashas Chala is very limited. And therefore, the amount, which is relatively small, that is chasera, is enough kidei l'takno. It fixes up and is matir the pitos of a nachto. Hence, the Erev still remains valid because the amount that's chasera is equivalent to the amount that is l'takno. But that small amount, in the framework of the Braisa, would not be enough because the Braisa is talking about a case of Chalas Balabais, where the shear is a shear gadol. It's a larger volume. So therefore, if he removes from this pass the shear of Chala, well, in the case of the Balabais, in order to be metaken the Chala, he would have to take out a larger shear. And the Braisa is talking about a case where he removed less than that shear gadol. So in other words, there's a difference between the shear chala of a nachtum, who's a professional baker, and the shear chala of a balabais, who's baking breads for himself and his family. Now, he quotes in the footnote here the Gaon Yaakov, as we've many times quoted the Gaon Yaakov. He says that if the Balabayis was mafrish, only the shear of Nachtom, which is the smaller shear, adayin hapas asur b'achila, he's not allowed to eat the pas because he has to, as a Balabayis, be mafrish a larger shear. So far, so good. I mean, the Gaon Yaakov is not changing anything that we said. But then he writes, "V'im kein vade mashomer gemara habachalas nachtum, hainu shenosan hanachtum pas v'hifrish mimena rak kemoshu tzarch lahafrish." So that when the Gemara says habachalas nachtum, which we said is the Eruv is valid, the Nachtum contributed a pas for the Eruv, and he was mafrish just that amount that he's chayav to be mafrish. In the case of the Balabayis, Habachal's Balabayis, the mafrish, the nachtum was mafrish, the shear, the largest shear, that a balabayis has to be mafrish. So that the Gaon Yaakov is understanding that the reconciliation between Rabbi Yochanan and the Braisa is all in a case of a nachtum. And the nachtum is one of the members of the chatzir, he's contributing to the Eruv. And would the Eruv be valid if it's chaser? Then it depends on how much he was mafrish. He is a nachtum, and if he's mafrish kashir nachtum, shir chal of nachtum, then the Eruv is valid. If that same nachtum is mafrish the shir of balabayis, so it's not valid. The Eruv is not valid. Why? Because it's really chaser. It's the chala of the nachtum. He's the owner of one of the various batei achotzer. And if he's mafrish, you see, the only one who's happy here is the kohen. You hear that, Don? because the Kohen is benefiting now. This Nachtum is offering the Kohen much more than he needed to offer, according to the Gaon Yaakov. But the unhappy campers are the members of the Chatzer, because they want to use the Eruv and rely on it to be Motzi mi Beitam lechatzer. Now, because the Nachtum took off too much challah, so to speak, which again, he has the right to do so. He took off the sheer gadol of a balabais, but he's a nachtom. He now has made this pas into a pas chasera and invalidated the Eruv. Says the Gaon Yaakov, Kevin Shehifrish Yosef Miashir, since he, the nachtom, gave more than he was required to, is therefore Eino Yochala Arivba. We cannot validate that pas which the Nachtom contributed, because he took off from the pas, you know, a large slice, and was magnanimous vis-a-vis the Kohen by giving him the amount that the Malbais would have to give him. But as far as the pas is concerned, it now is a pas chasera. Aval Balabais, if it would have been a Balabais who was contributing his pas to the Eruv, Vehu Ifrish Kishirshu Tsarachla Hafrish, and he was Mafrish that larger amount, which is exactly the amount that the Nachtum in the first case, when the Nachtum offered his pas for the Eruv, was Mafrish. Nevertheless, Yochala Arivba. To imagine, both of these pitos are exactly the same size. They're both missing the exact amount, and yet one is valid and the other is not valid. In the case of the Nachtum, it's invalid. In the case of Balabais, it's valid. In the case of the Nachtum, it's not valid because he was Mafrish Kashir Balabais, the Shir Gadol. In the case, and that undermines the pas as a valid Eruv. In the case of the Balabais, again, contributing the same exact pas with the same percentage of chaser, it's a valid Eruv because he was obligated. So you see, Rabosai, there's a, I always call this the theory of relativity. There's no one standard uniform amount in a pas that if it's chaser, it's chaser and it's invalid, or if it's not chaser, it's not chaser and it's valid. It's going to, you can have two scenarios with the exact same missing part of the pas. One is an Eruv that's valid, the other is an Eruv that's not valid. It all depends on the person who contributes his pas. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Challah, Shir, Challah, how much is the minimum amount of the section of the loaf that has to be separated and given to the Kohen? Echad mi esrim vi arba, 1 over 24. Less than that is not a fair gift to the Kohen, and you're obligated to give the Kohen a matana. This is one of the great matanas, the 24 matanas. And you have to give it a significant amount. And it's not significant unless it's 1/24. So if he gave 1/48, that would not be sufficient, and the challah would not be valid. And here the Mishnah says it depends who's the owner of this dough. If he's preparing the dough for himself, he's going to bake it for himself and his family, is then, oh, and then he adds another chiddush, right? So he's got a massive amount of breads that he's preparing for the wedding of his son. Is echad mi esrim vi arba. So, I don't know, I'm going to call it 5%. If anybody could work out the mathematics. 1 over 24.
A little over 4%.
4%. Nachtum shu'osa limkar b'shuk. The Nachtum is preparing it commercially. I'm going to skip just one line. Is echad mi arbaim v'shmona. All he has to give is 2%. 2 plus. Now, what I skipped was v'cheina isha she'asasa limkar b'shuk. In other words, what about a woman who is, on the one hand, like a Baal HaBayis, she's baking from her house, she's not baking from a bake shop, a bakery, but nevertheless, she is preparing larger amounts than normal Baal HaBayis would prepare. So on the one hand, she's at home and she's similar to the Baal HaBayis, yet because she's not preparing the bread for herself, she's virtually considered a nachtum. So nachtum is not dependent upon where you bake the breads, but for what purpose you're baking the breads. Is it for personal use, or is it for commercial selling? So you can have a person who's local, you know, he's not in the bakery, but he's baking in his own kitchen for commercial purposes. And such a person has the same status as a nachtum, and all he has to be mafrish and give to the kohen is 2%. So let's just summarize now, what would be the status of the Eruv if he takes off from that pas that he contributes to the Eruv? What would be the status of the pas? Would it be a valid Eruv if he took off 2%? Or even if he took off 4%? Well, it would seem that in the case of the Nachtum, we're going to allow him to take only 2%. Beyond that, that's outside of the purview of Litakna. He doesn't need more than 2% to be Metakin. And therefore it's called Chasera. In the case of a Baal HaBayis, he would have to take off 4% for a valid Eruv, because that's the shear of challah that a Baal HaBayis has to be mafresh. And that's called Litakna. What would be if a Baal HaBayis were to take off 5%, that would be chasera, and that would invalidate the pas for an eruv. What would be in the case of a Baal HaBayis who took off less than 4%, or for that matter, a nachtum who took off less than 2%? He says the following. Nachtum rogi lasos isos gidolos. A nachtum for commercial makes larger breads. V'yesh bi echad mi arboim u'shmona meyem shir sheroi litno b'maton. Such a nachtum, which is apparently classic, and he bakes large breads, then the shir of a matana from such large breads is 1/48. Did I get that right? Yeah. Now, what happens if he bakes unusually large breads? No. Let me give you a different scenario. The opposite. What happens if he bakes regular size breads instead of the usual nachtum who sells larger breads? Would it be enough if he only gave 2%? And the answer is yes, because what the Rabbana did is they set up a shear for Nachtom based on what is regilus, what is normal, what is usual. And since usually the Nachtomim will bake larger breads, then it's already got chashivus if he takes off as little as 2%. So what he gives to the Kohen
sense of the brand or the quantity of the brand?
You and I would have said it should be totally dependent upon upon the quantity. In other words, if he's got a large quantity and the breads are larger, then maybe the percentage should change. But that's not so. The percentage remains the same. He's got to give 1/24. Now, if he has a smaller volume of bread, then 1/24 is really not, you know, the Kohen is still hungry, you know, so to speak. He's not getting what he generally normally would get from a Nachtum when he gets 1/48. Because this Nachtum is baking smaller breads and smaller volumes of bread and so forth and so on. But the halacha is no. It's always going to be 1/24. I'm sorry, 1/48 for a Nachtum. And in that sense, we're sort of seeing a difference between Nachtum and Baal Bais? In the case of Baal Bais, we had the Isha, and she's selling it to sell it in the Shuk for commercial reasons. And we said now she needs no more than 1/48. So I guess, in other words, it's not relevant or relative to the size of the challahs, but rather it's relative to the status of the person who's baking the challahs. In the case of a professional nachtum, we understand. And the shear is 1/48. In the case of an isha shemokhra bashuk, so she has the same status as a nachtom, and her nesin will be 1/48. Okay. Now, the next gemara is very interesting, and when I was in the army, we relied on this gemara on Shabbosels. What happens if you have a bread that's sliced, but you can connect it together? When I was in the army, for example, all the breads for Shabbos came from Angel's Bakery. They were all sliced breads. And even though we complained to the Rav and the Basis, you know, get us Shlemos for Shabbos, they were not able to do so. So we relied on this Gemara. What you do is, if you have a bread that's sliced, again, it depends how you do this, but if you hold it together in a way that it looks like it's shlema, then it has the status of a shlema. I don't know if you knew this. And again, it's a fallback position. When you don't have a shlema, you can artificially create a shlema if you can hold together the pieces, the slices, and fool the onlooker and make it look like it's a shlema. And that's relevant to Erevin, because in Erevin we said that a pas has to be a pas shlema. Otherwise, you know, it's going to create all sorts of friction. You know, why did you contribute only a slice of a sliced loaf, and I gave a full loaf? But what about a sliced loaf that is made, presented as if it was a full loaf? So the Gemara says they used to actually paste together the slices with some sort of a kisem. A kisem is literally translates as a splinter. Somehow, what they were able to do, maybe on the underside of the bread or maybe inside the bread, they were able to like string together the different slices. So Amar Rav Chisda, Tfara means he sews together the kesam with a kesam. All right, he doesn't tell you exactly what a kesam is, but a kesam is literally a peg or a, well, like a splinter. So he was able to connect all the pieces even after Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. So he took all the slices of the bread, and with a kesam, he was able
to fool the spectator. Sew it up. Right? It's like invisible mending. You know, sometimes you get a rip on your slacks, and if they do it really well, nobody will know that it was ever ripped. So nobody knows that this challah was really cut up into pieces. And ma'arvin lo ba. And the Eruv is valid, because the pas is considered like a pashlim. Fekta Gemara, Vatanya, we have a braisa that says, in the case of pasha, chibral yidei kisen, ein ma'arvin lo ba. Lokasha ha di dia tifra fa ha de lo yidia tifra. If it's a case where you can see it, the yidia means it's recognizable that it's tifra, that he sewed together and tried to attach different slices of bread, that's ein ma'arvin bo. But Rav Chizda is talking about a case where yidia means it's nikar. It's you just look at it and it looks like the low yidia tifra, that it was natural. It's a real shlema. So if it's a case of yidia tifra, let me say it to you this way: he did a sloppy job, meaning although he tried very desperately to connect the slices, but you and I know that it's obvious that it's sliced. So then, Amar, but in the case of Rav Chizda, is lo yidia de tifra. He was able to hide the fact that he sewed together the various slices. He did such a great job of mending this sliced bread to make it look like a shlema, that even though we know it's not a shlema, it still could serve as a valid eruv because it looks like a shlema. Omar Rabbi Zeira, Omar Shmuel, Ma'arvin bepas orez ubepas dochan. Omar Rav Ukvel Yidim Farshle Mina Demar Zutra bepas orez ma'arvin bepas dochan ein ma'arv. So Mar Ukva very often has a different text and a different transmission than Shmuel, because he was a Talmud Muvok of Shmuel and he knew exactly what Shmuel said. Rav Zera, at least according to Mar Ukva, had a faulty transmission of Shmuel. Rabbi Zera said that there's no difference between a pas orez, which we call rice bread, and something called dochan. Now the English translation, I don't have it in front of me, I think, but from other times that I've seen the word dochan, is millet. Millet is very, very similar to rice. And therefore, Abzera said that what he understood from Shmuel was that Shmuel was expanding out a definition of a pas for Eruv, and he was validating a broader definition of pas, which included even rice bread. So that Rabbi Zera was very makil, and he had a broad scope of the grain from which the bread was making that's kosher for an Eruv, and he included even dochan. Whereas Mar Ukva, in his transmission of Shmuel, he had a more narrow scope of what qualifies and constitutes a pas for the purpose of Erevin, and he limited it to Orez and excluded Dochan. Now, the real source in Shas for this sugya, I mean to say, if you want to go back to what we call the original, would be Masechta Pesachim. And there the Mishnah records Machlok Shrin, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say that matzah is from the five species of grains. And orez, if you were to make a matzah from rice, it would not be a valid matzah. You could not be yotze matzah. And it was Rabbi Yochanan Nuri who expanded the definition of matzah to include even orez v'dochan. The Chachamim hold that orez v'dochan are what's called mine kitnios and not mine dogon. So when the Torah defines lechem, whether it's lechem only for matzah or in general lechem for brachos, whether you make a motzi lechem in a oretz, the Torah defines lechem as the five species of grain. But orez v'dochan is called not dogon, which is grain, but rather kitnios, which is legumes. And even though there are certain legumes, a few select legumes, that you can use to create a loaf of pas, but nevertheless, we assume that pas is not the real makoi. That any of the five species of grains, if you make them into a flour and then you add water, they will rise, they will ferment, and it'll be a perfectly good piece of chametz. But when you talk about orez and dochan, you could try to make bread out of them, but it's not bread. Now, there's a Rashi here that objects to our definition of orez v'dochan, especially dochan. Rashi, in the sugi of what bracha do you make on various kinds of rice cereals and so forth, so in that context, Rashi writes that orez in French is meal. Dochen, he says in French, is panst, pei nun tzad. Now, what is panst? So the Maharil, who lived, I think, about 6 centuries ago, he says that when Rashi identifies dochen as panst, that word pants is the same as what we call rice. Reish yud yud zayin. So that dochan is what we call ores. Very confusing. So what does the word ores mean? He says mil. Is that the same as millet? I don't know. Tosfos says just the opposite, that orez is rice, and dochen is meal. Just the opposite of Rashi. Now Shmuel, the same Shmuel, in Masechta Brachos is quoted as saying that as far as Brachos is concerned, Orez v'dochen are not considered dogon. And therefore, if you make a cereal out of Orez and Dochan, according to Shmuel, you would not make a Borei Mine Mizonos, because it's not dogon. And Mizonos is singled out for mine dogon, for the five species of grains. Now, if you take the Gemara in Brachos, quoting Shmuel, and you put it together with this Shmuel here, then we really have a little bit of a stira here. Because Shmuel here is quoted as elevating or upgrading the status of Orez, and possibly even Dochan, according to Rabbi Zeira, to the status of a Pas.
where Shmuel in Masechta Shabbos says that Oriz V'Dochan are not called pas. And you don't even make a bari mina mizonos if you have some sort of a rice cereal. So I'm thinking out loud here that maybe Shmuel holds that as far as your abstract definition of pas is concerned, you can include Oriz V'Dochan in a broader context of pas. Which means that if I would sell you rice bread, could be that you'll find it very appealing. It's like a loaf of bread. But on the other hand, when we get to brachos, there we have a definition of lechem for the bracha of hamotzi lechem in Aretz. And mizonos is something that could be lechem. To the exclusion of Orez V'Dochan, because Orez V'Dochan are not lechem. Orez V'Dochan, for example, would not be chayv in challah, because the Torah says tafishu lechem, or an isa that makes lechem. The exception to the rule is going to be Eruv. That Eruv allows for a broader scope, because basically we want the chashivus of a pas. You're contributing wheat bread, he's contributing barley bread, and he's contributing spelt bread. And this guy's contributing rice bread. But rice bread is also, colloquially and in terms of what we enjoy and what we buy, it's considered bread. But the machlokas here between Rav Zera and Mar Ukva about Shmuel, whether Shmuel would allow that even Dochan is considered a pas for Eruv. Now, if you go with Tosa Shita that Dochan is meal, then I understand that it's a little bit on a lower madriga than rice, than Oriz. But if you go like Rashi, that Orez is meal and Dochan is rice, then it's a little bit strange that we should downgrade the status of a rice bread as far as Erevin is concerned. That's Rashi Shit. Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovin, Omer Rav Ma'arvin, Vipas Adoshim. Again, this I think is a further proof to what we said before, that the definition of pas for the purpose of Erevin is not the universal definition of lechem, where you need lechem from chameshes, meaning dogon, for afrashes truma, I mean challah, where you need lechem for hamotzi lechem in arts, or bori mine mizonos. Here we're talking about a whole different definition. I mean, adashim is certainly kitnios. It's not grains, it's not dogon. And yet, the Gemara is saying that ma'arvin bepas adashim. So the Gemara asks, "Eini, is this really so? Veha hahi dahavi b'shnei demar Shmuel." There was apparently a popular kind of a kitnius pas during the times of Shmuel. V'shadya l'kalbe v'lo achola. He took this pas that was made of adoshim, and he used it for his dog food. He would not eat it himself. Now, I'm not sure what the Gemara means by Shadya Lekalbe. I thought the Gemara meant that he would take it and feed it to his dog. But in my translation, I don't know what to do with this. He says, "Hare dafilu achilas kelev lo haisa reuya." I don't know what that means. He fed it to his dog.
Oxcrow says the dog
didn't eat it. He gave it to his dog, but the dog refused to eat it?
Right. And therefore, it's considered even more inferior than the other stuff.
How do they know this? I mean, again, my Hebrew translation supports what you said.
That's me.
I don't see it in the Gemara. It says, Shadya l'kalvi. I thought Shmuel understood that the kelev would be more than happy to eat this. Anyway.
Baba Kama.
Okay, so maybe we're missing something from our Gemara, because the Gemara adds something above a Kama. In any event, we see clearly that Pasa Doshim is not something that you would serve to your guests. You know, you want to give it to your Kelev, maybe your Kelev will eat it, maybe he won't. But certainly people were not excited about it. So how are you telling me that that Rav held that Ma'arvim v'pas adoshim? So the Gemara answers, Ahi, the pas that Shmuel fed to his dog, Deshar Minim Havya. It had a mixture of different kinds and species. He doesn't tell you what minim they are. Let's just see. Anyway, it was some sort of an inferior pas because it was made of a combination of different minim. And now the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Tichsiv v'yato kach lecha chitim u'si'orim u'pul v'adoshim v'dochim v'kusmim v'nasato osom v'kli echad v'yasis osom lecha l'lochan. And Yechezkel was being kind of facetious. You know, he was talking about the fact that they're going to experience a terrible famine in the land. And that's going to be at the siege of Jerusalem. So Yechezkel says to them, why don't you just gather together whatever different small amounts of minim that you have, mix them together, and make a pas out of it. And what he's telling them is that even if they try to do this, you know, it's hardly going to be edible. Again, they'll eat it because they're starving. It's, you know, it's better than dying. You know, in the Holocaust, you took what you got. You know. But nevertheless, this is not something that the people usually eat. And the Gemara quotes this in Yechezkel, because Yechezkel is telling them that they're going to be very desperate, that they're going to have to eat this bread, this loaf that's made up of so many mixtures of different kinds of minim. Obviously, this is not a very appealing a loaf of bread. And that's the one that Shmuel refused to eat, but fed to his dog. It was a mixture of different meaning. But if you take adashim, and you make a lentil bread, I'm trying to think if I ever ate such a thing. I think I did in a restaurant somewhere in Italy. In Rome, I think they gave us some sort of a... Have you gentlemen ever come across legume bread? I think it's maybe in health foods they have it. No? Anyway. You could maybe Google it for me. Rav Papa has a different answer. Rav Papa Amar Ahi, that pas that Shmuel threw to the Kelev, and it wasn't edible for human beings, it was not made of adashim, but rather tsluya b'tsoas ha'odam havi. Again, I'm not sure if I understand the the biological reality here, but he says it's he baked it on inferior quality coals. Those coals were made of human excrement that they dried up and they burnt it and in an oven, and then they made coals out of it, and that's how he baked the bread. Such a bread was not edible for human beings. The chesiv, as it says in the pasuk in Yechezkel, "Vehi beglole seas ha'adam te ugena le'enehem," that they will bake a bread in front of Bnei Yisrael with these kinds of coals that were made and manufactured from human feces. And again, this is the terrible tochacha that Yechezkel is describing, the ultimate siege of Jerusalem. Now, the beginning of this pasuk says, "Vehi begelalei tseas ha'adam." So the Gemara asks, "My viugas siorim tochlena." What does it mean when Shmuel says that the pas that was mentioned here in the pasuk is ugas siorim? Omar of Chizda, don't read it siorim, but rather lishiurim. Shiurim means smaller amounts. They won't be able to eat enough to satiate themselves. Rapapa Omar, arivasa ke arivas siorim. When they prepare the dough for baking, they prepare it like a dough of barley. And barley bread was not considered yafe. They weren't makpid in the way they prepared it. V'lo barichas arevas chitin. It's not the way that you normally would prepare a bread that's made out of wheat. So all these are answers to the question of why Shmuel took this pas of Adashim and he fed it to his dog and it wasn't humanly edible. But it doesn't undermine the principle of Rav that Ma'arvim v'pas Adashim, there is such a thing as a pas Adashim, which is made purely from Adashim, and can be, and is humanly consumable, or edible. And now we get to the Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to talk about the possibility of setting up an Erev without a person's knowledge and his approval. No Sein Adam Ma'al Lechenvani Lenachtom Kideshi Yizakalo Eruv Divrei Rabbi Eliezer Chomer Lo Zochlo Ma'osav. A person could give money to a seller, a vendor, and this vendor is a Mocher Yayin. He's selling wine. And the seller, the vendor himself, lives in the same Mavui as the person who purchased the wine, or lenachto, or the baker lives in the same chatzah. So the Mishnah says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that kidei sheyizkelo be'eruv, that if the Bnei Amavui will come to buy wine, and they're interested also making a shita for the Mavui, or the Bnei Achotzer want to take a pass and buy the bread and use it for an Eruv, then Yizakalo be'eruv tmuras hamashu nosin lo achshav. So that the buyer will pay mos, and he expects that in return, as a kind of a, almost like an extra gift that he throws in gratis, he, the vendor, will be zocha on his behalf in part of the eruv, because he's getting the most, and he's not only going to give the yayin, which is being sold in this case, but or in the case of a nacht on the bread, but he's allowed to be mezakeh him the eruv. That's Rabbi Yehuda's. Chachomarim lo zochu lo ma'os. He says here in the name of an interpretation of Rashi that Hochochas HaGemara Shepas Zu Einen Echsheves Pas, this Pas Adashim is not considered a Pas. Mimasha Omer Li Yechezkel Lechem Anoshim Lo Tzochal means sheyochal lechem shein enoshim ochel, so they'll be forced to eat bread which out of desperation that's not really edible. So pas sushim arvim ba kol minim halolu, which a taroves, if he mixes up many different minim, is then einen echsheves pas. Rabbeinu Tam has a slightly different girsa than Rashi. This pasuk was not said as far as the pas that Yechezkel made, but rather in a different context. Shomar Hashem li Yechezkel, Sha'achar she'tomas ishto lo yinog minag avelus, Shehem ochlim sudu rishonim yishal achirim, Ela lo yochal lechem shal anoshim achirim. So then, what is the Rayas HaGemara? It's from the fact that it says in the pasuk that this pas is a simon l'ro'ov, it's a simon of famine, sheyavo machmas hamatzor, that it's going to be a result of the siege. So we see from that that it's einen echelas pas el nefesh re'eva machmas adochak, it's only in desperation and therefore it's not pas. The Meiri quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid writes hatam sheinen echsheves pas. It's not just simply the fact that you have a mixture of different types of grains and so forth. They added a combination, a concoction of different kinds of legumes that each one in itself would not be considered a pas. And when they added it together, then it's Garua, it's not a real good pas. Now, in terms of what we saw earlier, that a nachtum is rogil lasos isos gedolos, and then we spoke about v'tofra bekesam, according to Rav Chisda, is ma'arvim lo ba, and the Meiri writes that Rav Chizda is teaching us two chidushim. Number one, that a sliced bread, af im hu nosein es kolapas, roim shalo chasim imenu klum, kemet shenifrasa ein ma'arvim ba. In other words, if it would be sliced, but roim ba, everybody sees that it's sliced, and it's also obvious that there's nothing missing from the original bread. Nevertheless, ein ma'arvim ba. It's only when the chibur was done through a kisam in a way that it nireis kishlema, then and only then are ma'arvim ba. He quotes here the Rokeach, who says that from the Gemara we derive that if you're mechaber the pas through kisam, it's considered a pas shlema. And that would be relevant even for Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, that it's considered like a pas sholem through chibur bekisam. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Kuf Samach Ches. The Chassam Sofer writes that if not for the Rokeach, he would have suggested that this pas is not considered shlema through chibur, with the exception of Le'inyan Eruv. It's a separate halacha and Eruv, Shatam Mishum Eva, and it's enough that it looks like a shlema, you could pass it on as such, pass it off as such, and that will remove the eva here. But it doesn't mean that it's really, really a shlema. And therefore, as far as Lechem Mishnah is concerned, it would not be acceptable as a shlema. The Yavitz
of Rav Yaakov Emden, he writes that this whole din is only Durabonon. On a Doraisa level, for sure, there's a Chibur through Kisem. I'm sorry, for sure that a Chibur through Kisem does not qualify as a Chibur. And that he bases on a Mishnah in the third parak of Olas. Okay then, so we'll stop here. And Emir Tzashem will study the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Aleph Amid Aleph tomorrow.